Is everybody ready? Everybody seems to be ready. Everybody's ready. Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest podcast in the world, Comic Culture. Yeah! And welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show, the champions, the local comic book shop. Hey, we're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU Radio, McMaster Radio, and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter Duralia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your doctors who
are searching for your TARDIS full of comic books.
Very nice, Chris. Hey, Chris.
Yes, Walter, how are you?
Not bad. You?
Good. I'm good, thanks. I'm good.
That's good.
How was your week? Was it good?
That was a great week.
Good.
You had a great week, too?
No, I had a terrible week, but you know
good
what?
Good for
yeah,
you. Listen,
it's
hey,
all good.
Great to hear.
Yeah. Awesome. All right.
Hey, listen,
you know
Chris,
what?
Go
we,
ahead.
We,
I'm
we,
sorry.
We have to introduce young...
I always forget.
Young Shecky Feldstein here.
Yep.
Shecky, how are you today?
Doing well, Chris.
Great.
Doing well.
Great.
Shecky is, of course, our producer.
Yep.
And... I won't say sad news, positive news.
Positively sad.
Yeah. I mean, listen, sad for Comic Culture, the
yes.
greatest podcast in the world.
Ever.
But good for Shecky Feldstein is he's going to leave us for what, Shecky, about 6 weeks?
I'd say until the end of May.
That's about 6 weeks.
That's about 6 weeks.
Yep.
Thanks, Shecky.
Okay,
because
thanks.
What's happening? Explain to us why you're leaving the greatest podcast in the world.
Well, I'm leaving the greatest podcast in the world to go and venture into the greatest theatrical showing in the world.
Are you doing Cats?
Oh, that's memories
like
from corner or whatever, yeah.
I'm sure some of the designers of this show have cats at home, so that's as close as this one gets to cats.
Right.
Right on. So what are you doing?
We are doing George A. Romero's Night of the Living Dead Live in Toronto at the Theatre Passe-Mirai, April 26th to May 19th.
Passe-Mirai, is that one of the streets in Toronto? Is it near Yonge?
No, it's no.
It's Passe-Mirai?
Oh,
I'm just asking.
Yeah.
Isn't that what you said?
Man,
the theater passed.
I should
Mirai.
Stop writing your jokes, I guess, huh? No,
yeah.
It's at the Queen West and Bathurst area intersection. It's actually on Ryerson.
Oh, it's called Passe-Mirai.
Yes, it's French.
Passe-Mirai.
Yes. Oh,
Passe-Mirai.
Yes,
it's French, you know.
Yes, you know.
Oui, oui.
So that's great. So you're when is the opening night?
That would be April 26th, the date I said a minute ago.
Right on.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't listening to that part.
April, no.
I thought it opened up next Tuesday.
Well, you see, technically the Tuesday, which is I guess that's April 23rd.
Yeah.
That's when the three preview shows start. So you can come and see for a very reduced ticket cost. You can
right.
come and see a product
Everybody.
That is still finished. It's still going to be full dress, full you know, splatter, special effects, and everything that's cool, and sound, and everything that we have that to feature in our show.
Mm-hmm.
But from night to night, the director can make, you know, on-the-fly decisions.
Like,
to change.
Cut! Stop!
No,
guys,
no,
I don't
never,
like that.
No,
like, not like that?
We won't stop the show. But
oh.
afterwards, there are directing notes. And so we might say, you know what, we're going to completely cut this scene
oh.
because it doesn't flow.
Right.
Because, hey, you're not funny.
You know, I've never heard that.
Neither have I.
Yeah.
Listen, but then again, so what you're saying is if, like, the first row falls asleep during a scene, they
yeah.
might cut that scene out.
Yeah, not the row. We're not going to cut the
no,
row.
No, but they'll cut the scene out.
Right.
Or they'll stop serving alcohol.
I like
they got to serve more, I think. I think that's what's going to happen.
I like the idea of them cutting out the first row.
The
you know what?
Row.
These guys fell asleep.
You're out.
They're not getting it.
You're out.
Yeah.
But yeah, there is a bar there, too. So, I mean, you know, they can just venture up to the bar if they want to keep the party there.
Right on.
Oh, I like that, yeah.
So where can people go then, Shecky, for info?
You can go online to our site, nightofthelivingdeadlive.com.
Right on.
And there is a ticket section. There's also, you know, the cast bio, about the play, about the history of George A. Romero, Russ Striner, and John A. Russo, who are actually the original creators,
are they
writers,
be in
producers.
The play?
No, but
are
funny
you,
enough.
Are you going to be in the play?
You don't want to see that. I'd have to give you your money back if I were in the play.
Yeah.
No, they don't want to do that.
Yeah.
But those three gentlemen will actually be at the 7 o'clock shows because we do double headers on Fridays and Saturdays. So they'll be at the 7 o'clock, the first showing, May 3rd, the Friday, and May 4th, the Saturday, so a week after open, for a special Q&A, an interview, and like a fun little story-filled hour after
nice.
The show.
Right.
So you get to hang around.
Hear that, Chris? Some
very
T&A
cool.
afterwards. That's nice.
I think it's Q&A.
Oh, is it Q&A?
Yeah.
I don't think
did they change the name?
Yeah.
I don't think it's planned for them to take any clothing off.
But you never know.
You never
last
know.
Minute
there
changes. The director
there.
Could last yeah. minute change.
Yeah, there's exactly. alcohol there. Yeah. So, hey, listen, all bets are off.
You never know what could happen.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. Well, Shecky, that's great. Listen, you know what's great about Shecky, Chris, is he's a producer. He's always producing stuff.
He is the producer extraordinaire.
So he's producing the podcast here.
Yes.
And then he's producing a play.
You're right. He's leaving for greener pastures.
Nah, are you kidding me?
No.
And
you're never leaving us.
It's great to see Shecky busy.
This $0 contract I'm in?
Yeah,
how can
exactly.
I walk away from that?
That's yeah. Right.
Listen, you know what? We are here, believe it or not, we're not here just to talk about...
To plug Shecky's play?
Wait, can we run out of time? Okay, the plug's done. Okay.
You've spent your time. That's good. We are actually here to
blew
talk...
Blew the wad there, Shecky.
We're going to talk about comic books.
I'm sorry.
That's why we're here.
Yes, we are.
We're here to talk... It's Wednesday.
You know what?
New comic book day.
We can't lose sight of what this show is all about.
And what is it all about?
We champion... The local comic book shop.
We really do.
The local comic book shop. The comic book shop in your town.
Yes.
This show champions that shop.
It really does. And you know what? Right. We are broadcasting on 93.3 CFMU.
McMaster Radio.
Hamilton's finest radio station.
Thanks to us,
yes. Right. I believe they've won, you know what? They've probably won more awards since we've been on the air than they have in their entire career.
Yeah.
Right?
You know what? Before we came on, they never got a dinner.
Just right. like red buttons. Listen, all right. We are here to talk about comic books, so let's start off with talking about comic books. And let's start with...
New This Week. Shecky has a sponsor for.
He does, yep. Yes.
There you go. New This Week, brought to you by Ricky Romero's Night of the Living Dead Lies, second act is exclusively the pursuit to sue his brother over stealing his ideas.
You know what?
I love Ricky Romero. He does great work.
Family. I love family.
Nothing like stealing from family.
Yeah. All right. Chris, what do you got?
All right. This week, you know what? As usual, we like to start off with Marvel, so let's do that this week.
Yeah.
Now.
Looks like you have. Hold on. I'm looking at the back of these, Chris. Yeah. It looks like you have the same book.
You know, well, you know, you'd think that.
Because they all have that Captain America ad.
All the Marvel comics, you know, most of the Marvel comics have the same ad on the back.
Oh, okay.
And you know what? You'd think that I had the same book.
Yeah.
But I really don't. But in fact, I do.
You do?
Kind of.
I'm confused.
Yeah, I know. It's a very confusing industry we live in here.
Yeah, tell me about it.
So, I know you're a Wolverine fan, right?
Well, absolutely.
Mr. Hugh Jackman there?
Yeah, the Huge Jackman. what he does isn't very nice, Chris.
No, but somebody's got to do it.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to do it. So listen, Huge Jackman is, of course, portrays Wolverine.
Or Hugh Jackman.
Wolverine is a very popular character, and you'd never know that except for the fact that 4 Wolverine books came out today.
Today.
Not 2, not 3, not 1, but 4. So we've got Savage Wolverine, Wolverine Max, Ultimate Wolverine, and Wolverine and the X-Men. Now, if you didn't get enough Wolverine this week, I'm sure there'll be another 8 or 10 next week.
You know, that's crazy, though.
This is ridiculous.
Listen, I know there's a lot of Wolverine titles, but I know there's not 16. Okay, I know there's not 16. So why wouldn't Marvel schedule that a little bit better?
You'd think they should, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know, okay, Wolverine is a popular character, and I know there's lots of different titles. But you know what? If I'm a Wolverine fan, I got to, you know.
Yeah, I don't want to blow the whole wad this week.
Exactly, in 1 week.
You know, did I say that twice?
Yeah, used that line a couple times.
I was saying blow the whole lot again.
Don't say that anymore. Yeah.
But I've written it 5 more times in the script.
In the script?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay. We have a script?
I hope you're reading from something.
Listen, all right. So we've got Wolverine and the X-Men and Ultimate Wolverine and Wolverine Max, which is the more adult version of Wolverine.
Right.
And then we've got Savage Wolverine, which is by the great Frank Cho.
Now
I think it's Wolverine Overlord.
Overload. Blew the whole load on Wolverine.
Exactly.
Chris, I think it's too much Wolverine for one day.
For 1 day, right? Yeah. You know,
you get a lot of Wolverine fans, and remember, your local comic shops have to make space.
Yes.
For new
Wolverine.
This week comics.
Yeah. Make space
and
for Wolverine.
You know, and there's a limited amount of space.
Yeah.
On most local comic shops, New This Week stands.
Yep.
And to devote 4 spaces to the same character,
yeah.
That kind of takes away from the other characters.
Yep.
You know, Marvel's a hog.
They really are.
They're hogging.
You know what? It's kind of like, you know, I remember there was back in the day, you know, back in the 90s, I remember there was a time when Marvel was basically publishing everything they possibly could mm-hmm. in order to create so much shelf space for themselves that yeah. they wouldn't allow anybody else. I remember yeah. there's like 200 different titles or something wow. like that, right?
No.
And there's probably, you know, what, 100 now or something like that that yeah. they would publish?
Now, let me ask you. You're a fan of comics. You like reading comics. Let's say... let's say
a little bit.
Your style of reading comics. Let's say that... You are a Avengers fan.
Yes.
You are a Hulk fan. You are a Wolverine fan, and you are a Nova fan.
Right.
Would you prefer to read all four Wolverine stories?
No.
Or do you want one of each that week?
I want one of each that week because if I'm a fan of multiple different comics, uh-huh. I want to have some variety.
You want to spread it out.
Yeah, I want to spread it out. I mean, if I was strictly a Wolverine fan, this is like the Nirvana day, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is fantastic. However, I'm a fan of multiple different characters. I like a lot of different genres of comics, mm-hmm. and you know, I like a little bit of Wolverine, but you know, he's not my favorite, right? So
fair enough.
Even you know, but you know what? Even having said that, even Captain America, who's my favorite, you know, comic book character, I wouldn't want to have four Captain America comics out in one day because I want variety.
Or heaven forbid you get a Captain America.
We don't want that either.
Hey, listen.
I have something just to interject. For this whole Wolverine thing, we've got, what, the second movie coming out kind of soon?
Yep.
So this could possibly be a ramp up.
It totally is.
Part two of what I was getting at, you know what, we've had a, you know, for as far back as I can remember, which isn't very far, maybe yesterday,
uh-huh.
we've had a trailer or a poster or a screenshot or something to talk about the Wolverine movie every week for the past few weeks or something.
Yep.
I don't even know if I actually write this stuff or if it just gets printed and I just give it to you guys to read, but I don't think we have anything Wolverine-specific related, so maybe they're flowing on four books this week because there's nothing new that they've done for the movie.
Right, fair enough. You know? Hey, so Shecky's on top of
it. Shecky is the man.
He's on top of it.
Listen, Shecky is the man.
Wolverine and the X-Men, Ultimate Comics Wolverine, Wolverine Max, and Savage Wolverine are all at your local comic book shop today.
Yes, they are. All right, let's move on to DC. Okay, so for DC, you know, I chose two completely different DC comics. The first one I've got is He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, number one. Now, DC recently published a miniseries based on He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
It did.
Went over extremely well. Extremely well written by Keith Giffen and Popman. You know, and it was so well received that they've decided to have a regular, ongoing, monthly title for He-Man.
Keith Giffen. Is that the old Keith Giffen?
Yeah, it's been around for forever.
Wow.
Right? Yeah, he did the old Justice League International.
New Teen Titans?
New Teen Titans, yeah. He's been around for a long time. But the great thing about Keith Giffen's writing is that he was clearly a fan of the He-Man cartoon,
mm-hmm.
and he understands kind of the characters and what they're getting at and where they're from, and he continues writing great stories around these characters that, you know, he doesn't, you know, go off and say, oh, well, you know what, we're going to make Battle Cat into a salamander now, right? Like, he just does great things with the existing characters.
Right. And listen, lately, over the last couple of years, with the increased popularity of comic books in general, right?
Yeah.
Comic books are kind of – the print comic book is kind of – I won't say making a comeback, but I'll say making a bit of a comeback, right? You have titles like Star Wars, the brand new one.
Yeah, yeah.
You have, you know, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles just relaunch. He-Man, Masters of the Universe, number one, coming out today. It's almost like these great properties of the 80s and 90s. It's a natural fit lately to start new comic book series of them.
That's right. Absolutely.
He-Man and the Masters of the Universe from DC.
Okay.
Is that your local comic book shop?
Yes. Now, I have to bring this up because...
Please do.
Now, Walt, I mentioned earlier that my favorite male character was Captain America.
Sure did.
Who is my favorite female character?
Come
on, you know this.
Power Girl.
Thank you. Oh. So, Power Girl of recent note, you know, with the new 52, right?
Yep.
When they redesigned the new 52 and the characters and everything, Power Girl had her costume changed.
Yeah,
into,
they rewired the brassiere.
They did. They rewired it. They put more wires in it. Really,
yeah, sure. Reinforcement. Rebarb.
Exactly. Well, they changed her costume
again.
No. Well, initially
the wires gave out.
The wires gave out. They changed the costume initially, and now they have gone back to the traditional Window to the Universe costume,
right?
As it's called now. You know, now there's a small story there that you know, Wally Wood was the creator of Power Girl,
yeah.
And back in the day, back in the you know, I guess the
mid-70s,
mm-hmm. Wally Wood was drawing Justice League of Justice Society.
Yes, he was.
And basically, the idea there was he was getting a little peeved with the DC universe, mm-hmm. and so he was trying to draw Power Girl's bosoms a little bit larger with every issue because he wanted to see how far he could push the envelope, push the brassiere,
push
as it
the
were,
brassiere,
right?
Yes.
And so eventually, somebody finally in the editorial office finally realized that, hey, what's going on with these boobs here, right?
Uh-huh.
So, and now, of course, many years later, she is supposed to be the character in the DC universe that has the largest bosom.
The largest bosom.
Right.
Somebody has to, Chris.
Somebody
listen,
has to.
Somebody has
right.
to, you know, in a population. You know, cross
well, yeah,
section.
Right?
There's like, always going to be somebody with the biggest
yeah,
boobs.
Absolutely,
and
that
happens to be Power Girl.
Happens to be Power Girl, and so her costume kind of has a great big hole in her costume around the cleavage area.
Wow!
And as you know, people, you know, when you delve into the Power Girl legend and lore,
right.
People often said, well, you know, Power Girl doesn't, she doesn't wear a mask, right? And they said, well, how come you never wear a mask? And she just says, well, no one's ever looking at my face.
Hey, oh.
So, you know, anyways, the point of the matter is they brought back.
The points of the matter are.
They brought back the original Power Girl costume that Wally Wood designed back in the 70s, and I'm thankful for it.
Did they ever show, you're a Power Girl, you mean, you know, you're a Power Girl buff.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Did they ever show her nipples? I'm asking because
like,
Power
like,
Girl obviously was drone. She was drone for her
boobs. You mean like through the clothing?
Through
kind
the
of
clothing.
Thing. Yeah, the odd
yeah,
time.
They did?
Yeah, the odd
yeah.
time. Yeah.
Did they get like
a little bit of
flack?
Yeah,
flight,
of course. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
But
right.
It's one of those things. Yeah, you shouldn't have done that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Supergirl
number 19 at your local comic book shop. Today.
Yes. All right. Oh, you know what? I didn't even mention the comic that I was talking about. That was in Supergirl. It wasn't in Power
yeah,
Girl.
That was Supergirl number 19.
I was so enamored with...
Stan Target.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Listen, last comic for new this week. Now, I know you're not a fan, but there are many
yeah.
fans.
I'm not a fan, but I am a fanalope.
What? Oh, are you a fanalo?
Yeah, I'm a
fanalo. Are you? You like Barry Manilow?
Oh, Mandy's my favorite song.
Oh,
maybe.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I did not know that. Anyways, listen, I know you're not a fan of Doctor Who. However, there are many Doctor Who fans out there. And since it has restarted about, what, 6 years ago or something
mm-hmm.
like that, it has exploded. You know, even I'm just looking in front of me, there is a myriad of Doctor Who stuff. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So, Doctor Who number 8 by IDW has come out, and you know what? I say it all the time. Whenever we talk about IDW,
mm-hmm.
IDW, what a fantastic company, because they know their license and the licenses, and they know their products. They realize that, hey, let's not try to you know go against what everybody
wants.
Don't
rock the boat.
Don't rock the boat. Exactly.
Don't rock the boat, baby.
So IDW has come out with a great Doctor Who comic book. This is up to number 8, now available at your local comic book store.
Wow, IDW. Now available at your local comic book shop.
I think I just said that.
All right, that's number 8. So listen, Chris, you have more?
That is it for new this week.
That now, is it for new this week.
Unfortunately, we are musicless.
Yeah, musicless
I
and
have,
clueless, really.
Musically challenged.
Musically challenged.
Musically
this
challenged.
Week. We're having some issues with our music this week.
Yes, we are.
We've got issues.
So we will delve right into industry news. Now,
comic mailbag, maybe.
Oh, right. Sorry, comic
that's
mailbag.
That's, of course, after I tell everybody that, of course... thousands more titles are available today at your local comic book shop. You just touched on two of them, and there are like literally thousands.
Pretty
more.
Sure I talked about seven of them, but you know,
if whatever. If before I said we were musically illiterate, I mean a different kind of illiterate.
No, listen. Head into your local comic book shop and check out the new this week.
All right,
what
listen,
I'm saying.
Shecky,
that's what I'm talking about.
Shecky has news for us.
Yeah, and first we're gonna have our comic mailbag sponsor. And Comic Mailbag this week is sponsored by Kathy's Cakery, for those times when you've lost that cake recipe that could make you write a song about it. Oh,
nice.
We were going to have a song about cakes, but, you know, sadly we couldn't.
Oh, cakes?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
MacArthur Park?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We'll play it next week.
Yeah, next week.
All right. Maybe Kathy's Cake will sponsor us again.
Mm-hmm.
You've ruined my bit.
Oh.
Sorry.
The bit.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
Right. Well, anyway. So,
Jackie getting all touchy.
Your comic culture mailbag this week. Dear Chris.
Yes.
You're a movie buff. For this summer's film season, which movie do you think, if any, is most likely to be a flop? From Jack in Kingston.
Oh, that's a great question.
And I don't even... The great question is, Kingston might be Ontario, or it might be Jamaica.
Jack Kingston. You know what? I like the name Jack Kingston.
Jack Kingston.
Jack Kingston. That's
like, Private Eye.
Private Eye,
like a crusty...
Jack Kingston.
And I'm Jack Kingston.
Where's my truck?
Yeah. I like that. I like that. Jack Kingston.
Do you also like the question we can maybe answer?
Oh. What was the question?
You know... It's about the, which movie is going to flop this summer.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay.
If any of the comic...
If any of them. You know what? It's a great question. I can't think of any off the top of my head that...
Seems like it's the big lineup this summer. It's a lot of Marvel.
The only one that I'm hoping is going to do well, but it's still... It's Zack Snyder. I don't know...
Superman?
Yeah,
I have a bad feeling.
He has let me down before... Mm-hmm. So, you know, I did see, unfortunately, I saw Sucker Punch, which was a terrible movie.
Yeah.
You saw that?
No.
So, I'm going to say if any of them, Man of Steel is going to flop.
Right.
I really hope it doesn't, though.
No, you know, I disagree that DC going that new direction, they don't have a Batman or anything this summer. Everyone who would have seen, and like if you have... $15 or $18 or $300, whatever the movie ticket cost is these days.
$5,000.
Right, okay. Sorry, $5,000. $18,000 to go because you need popcorn, too.
Yeah, right. I forgot
so
about that.
So if you have $18,000 and you need to go, and you know what? Batman's not there. So you know what? You're going to take the closest thing, DC-related, Superman, another classic character, another dark, gritty, new start.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to flop.
I hope not. I hope you're right. I was reading the other day that DC is really trying to start. Remember last week? I think it was last week you and I were talking about DC movies and how DC is not putting out enough movies based on their characters. Well,
yeah.
I did read recently that they're really in the next few years there's going to be a strong push to putting out decent DC movies.
Red Tornado.
Man, if only.
No.
Well, and the original Red Tornado with a pot on her head and like the ma uncle.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's not going to happen.
Probably like Flash, and they'll actually get
Flash,
in the good ones.
Yeah,
you know what? We talked about this maybe a few weeks ago about how they need this, right?
They really
were
do.
Supporting.
Yeah.
I think they were listening.
I think they were. I think you're right. Mm-hmm. You know what? Wonder Woman, you know, the Flash, Green Lantern. Well, they need a better Green Lantern movie. Mm-hmm. There's something about DC Comics. You know, and I think this comes down to Stan Lee's original writing of the characters for the great Marvel characters always had a... real human element to them.
Flaws.
Well, they had flaws.
Yeah,
right.
Flaws in character.
And DC's characters were so untouchable as icons or man-made gods, whatever you want to call them. And I think it's hard for the general audience to relate to the DC characters in general. And
totally
I think that's
agreed.
Why they do not do as well as the Marvel characters, right?
You know what they need in the Superman movie? They need like a Batman walk-on.
Absolutely, yes.
Cameo.
Absolutely.
Now, but, get me wrong. I mean, I said that wrong.
Don't get me wrong.
Don't get me wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong. Does Warner Bros., do they make both of those characters? Does Warner Bros. Make Batman movies and Superman movies?
Yes.
Well, why the heck wouldn't they just throw a Batman in as a cameo to the Superman?
Great question.
And steal with kind of what's working with Marvel, right? Because all the cameos and stuff, people love that.
Had enough time to figure this out.
Well, yeah.
Like, why wouldn't Superman fly through and save Batman's bacon during one of those scenes in the second movie?
Or something? Why not?
You know what I mean?
I completely agree.
You know, and why wouldn't Batman just kind of figure something out
for
Superman in Snyder's movie or
something? You're absolutely
right. Oh, man, I can't figure this out because I'm stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm from Krypton. I'm stupid. And then Batman comes in. Well, you're stupid. Yeah. This is what's happening.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
Man.
You're absolutely right.
5 + 5 = 10.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I think there should be lots of crossovers because it's not even, as far as I know, and I could be wrong on this, it's not even like the Marvel Universe, unfortunately, has been divided up. You know, Sony has Spider-Man and some other company has another
character.
Fox has FF. You know, and blah, 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 blah. And finally, Marvel has their own studios. And now they're doing their own thing. I'm pretty sure that Warner Brothers has their all their own stuff, right?
I'm pretty sure, too.
Right? So why not have, you know, even mere mentions of the characters.
Something.
Right? So why couldn't Batman have said, oh, you know, I'm just reading the Daily Planet here.
Yeah.
This article by Clark Kent.
Clark Kent. Yeah. Something.
Right?
Yeah.
Make it, I'll tie it in.
Yeah. Have Jimmy Olsen come in and,
yeah.
And, you know.
I agree.
So, to summarize, we're hoping that Man of Steel doesn't flop, and for all the rest of the films, Jack is left on his own? Is that what we're doing?
Oh, everything else is going to score huge.
All
those other movies.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Well, I mean, Wolverine's going to do great.
Wolverine's going to do fine. Because Hugh Jackman's in that.
Iron Man will do great.
Oh, Iron
Thor
Man
will do great.
Is Thor out this year?
Thor's out in like November,
I believe. Right, later on in the year.
Maybe not November. I think it's November. But yeah, you know what? They're all going to do awesome. I'm hoping that of the ones that I think will flop, it's going to be Man of Steel, but I hope it doesn't. And that was for Jack Kingston. Jack Kingston.
Jackman.
All right, listen. Okay. Let's continue on. That was mailbag. We've got industry news coming up. Now, So, Walt.
Oh. No, that was the musical interlude.
I like that. Yeah. I like the musical interlude. Now, Walt, speaking of all the DC Warner Brothers characters.
Yeah.
They're starting to clue in that people like to see all their myriad characters, right? Like they've got like, you know, 1,000 characters.
Sure.
Now, I know you're not a gamer, right? I know your kids play some video games, but you yourself are not much of a gamer.
Sorry, I'm not.
But I'm sure you've heard of games like Mortal Kombat, right?
Of course I have.
So,
of course.
Mortal Kombat is a traditional type fighting game, I'll call it, where basically there's two characters and they just fight each other and
like a karate martial arts type thing.
Right. So, just recently, as of yesterday, DC and Warner Brothers has now published a new video game for Xbox and for PS3.
Mm-hmm.
Injustice, Gods Among Us, came out yesterday. And this actually looks phenomenal.
Really?
It is one of the few fighting games where they... Now, with most traditional fighting games, there's sort of like a very, very weak backstory where it's like, oh, yeah, these guys are fighting because blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, somebody says something about his mother.
Exactly, yeah. The new Injustice video game here has come out, and there's many, many different characters. I think it's like 20 or 25 different characters that people can play.
Wow.
And there's a strong story behind it with lots of what I'll call cutscenes. Now, cutscene is sort of adds to the story and lets you kind of play a little bit more into the characters. And this just came released yesterday, and I haven't picked up my copy yet, but I'm really looking forward to it. Not only is this going to have great characters, I mean, it's got Joker and Harley Quinn and The Flash and Cyborg and Batman and Superman and all those kind of characters, of course, but there's going to be downloadable characters such as, you know, Killer Frost and Ares. So Ares, the god of war, who is a famous Wonder Woman villain, and Killer Frost was a Firestorm villain. You know, like, there are lots of great characters, lots of cool things happening. Depending on where you buy your copy, there's different versions of what you are add-on extras. So there's different costumes that you can download and all kinds of cool stuff. Really looking forward to this.
Are they going to have, Chris? This is the key for me.
Yeah.
I'd play this if they had Gaucho in it. Remember Gaucho? He was a Wonder Woman villain.
Gaucho Marx?
No, not Gaucho Marx. Gaucho, the Argentine cowboy that lassoed Wonder Woman and tried to teach her what a real man was.
He's not in this.
Well, that's cool, though. So, Injustice.
The video game.
Now, what's this got to do with Mortal Kombat?
So, okay, well, basically the same company that creates Mortal Kombat created this game. But
no Mortal Kombat characters are in here. It's not like a Comcam versus Marvel.
But it's, you know, it's interesting. You know, you're right. I'm actually very impressed that you're almost on the ball here.
Almost.
Because there was a Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe game years ago.
Uh-huh.
And now they've kind of gone to just a DC Universe fighting game.
Okay.
So I mentioned.
So it's mirroring a Mortal Kombat type of thing.
That's right.
Okay.
Exactly. Where it's two characters fighting. You know, so you can have Cyborg versus Green Lantern or whoever it happens to be.
And Chris,
right?
Just so that you know,
yeah,
just because you stab in the dark every time you put something in your hand doesn't mean you're on the ball, for Walt's case.
He's on the ball this time. He really is. He actually knows what he's talking about. I mean,
yeah.
Hey, Marty, Shecky,
leave me alone, Shecky.
I am just as surprised as you are.
Right. Thank you, guys.
Mark my words.
I think.
Now, listen, on the same vein as Injustice.
Okay,
now,
so that's Injustice at your local comic book shop.
It's not at your local comic book shop. It's not. It's a video game.
Oh,
it
right.
might be.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I thought we were still on you this
there
week.
There is possibility.
No, Chris. He's on the ball. Yeah. No.
Woo. Okay.
All right.
So are we done with that?
No.
No.
Okay, well, we're done with Injustice. However,
great video game.
Yes. At your local video game retailer.
At your local video game,
which could be
retailer.
A comic book store,
or at some sort of free stealing download place.
Yeah. At some. Anyways, yes. Now listen. Now, you and I have talked about, in the past couple of years...
Indeed, we have.
About Arkham City, Arkham Asylum, the Batman video game.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that?
You
remember?
Love that game.
Love that
game.
Huge that game. First game was Batman Arkham Asylum. Second was Batman Arkham City. Now, there has been a reveal that Batman...
Is this a spoiler alert?
No. It's out on those internets.
Those internets.
Arkham Origins... has now been revealed. There's going to be a new Arkham video game.
Arkham Origins will be the third.
It's going to be the third in the Arkham series. However, the only difference is this is going to be a prelude to Arkham Asylum.
Oh, those dreaded
preludes.
Help me. Preludes.
Yes.
Oh.
So, the thing is, I think one of the reasons why they decided to go with a prelude instead of a continuing story, Mark Hamill, who plays the Joker, has said he will never play the Joker again. He played it for all the cartoons and all the video games, and he's done, right? The Joker was the main villain for the last two games. I think there's probably not going to be a Joker in this, except for maybe at the very, very end or something, in which case maybe we might not even hear Mark Hamill's version of the Joker. So there's going to be, it's going to take place a lot of Blackgate Prison rather than Arkham Asylum. It's still going to be Arkham Origin, so it's going to be how the inmates from Blackgate Prison go to Arkham Asylum because they're too crazy or whatever.
Right.
One of the main characters is going to be Deathstroke, the Terminator. So
okay,
people are very excited about the fact that the Deathstroke is going to be in it, and there's going to be a lot of different Batman villains in it. It's being published by Warner Brothers Canada, which is a division of Montreal, it's in Montreal, so it's not Rocksteady Games who published the first two games. However, and now this is getting a little technical, they're still going to use the same engine, right? It's still going to be the
engine.
Same. Yeah, it's still the same gameplay, except Rocksteady's not going to actually do the ones doing it.
Okay.
It's going to be, they're sort of borrowing that sort of style.
I understand. And when does this, what's this called again?
Arkham Origins. I don't believe there's been a release date yet. It's
but
just,
the
just
buzz is now that it's been announced.
Yeah.
Everybody's excited.
Yeah. And this is going to be about...
What's the second one called?
Arkham City.
Arkham City?
Yeah.
Now, would people have played that out already?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
It's already like in the million copies sold.
Right,
you know,
right. So people have gone through the whole thing a couple times probably.
Yeah.
And there you go. They want something new.
That's right.
They've probably had enough time for their dog to chew a hole in the disc and go get another one.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right.
So
all right,
very excited. I love that game.
Great,
you know,
news for gamers.
I can't wait to see it.
But now, hold on, Chris.
Yeah.
Hold on a moment.
Hold on.
Love. I want to actually look into Mark Hamill not wanting to portray the Joker anymore, just for like a quick minute. Like, why do you think that is? I mean, he has such a great reputation. He's got the voice. It's so perfect.
Yeah,
Everything about that is amazing.
He's tired of it. Wait, a young producer over here, a young buck, Andrew Roebuck, is saying
the engineer?
Engineer, sorry. Yeah. That's what I meant to say. He's saying that maybe Mark Hamill's too busy playing Jedi. But
I think he's too busy playing canasta in the basement or something. And
yeah.
He's just too lazy to get out and do it.
You know what? I think I have a feeling, and I could be wrong on this. I have a feeling here's a guy who, you know, broke grounds playing Luke Skywalker, right? And then for many years could not get work because everybody always saw him only as Luke Skywalker.
Luke Skywalker.
And then he gets a chance doing voiceover work for cartoons and things like that. Comes up with a phenomenal character for the Joker. And now it's like, now he's, Mark Hamill, yeah, he plays the Joker. Well, maybe he wants to be known as doing other things, right? So I have a feeling he's just tired of being typecast. He's either the Joker
but
or
he wasn't
Luke Skywalker.
He was typecast as Skywalker, and then he found something else. He proved to people that he wasn't.
But now people only know him as two things.
What's his last name?
Luke Skywalker.
Skywalker, yeah.
Now people only know him for his two things, right?
Yeah.
He's like,
other than
and even
being
after
known
the two things,
thing,
never got a dinner.
Never got a dinner, right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
All right.
Thank
we
you,
know
Warren.
Two things. All right. So how do we end this?
Mark Hamill, not the Joker.
Not the Joker. Too bad.
All right.
Boo-hoo. What else are we going to talk about? Chris, should we talk about this this transcontinental thing?
Transgender, yes.
Transgender?
Absolutely, we should talk about this.
Let's talk about this transgender thing.
Okay, so in the latest issue of Batgirl, issue number 19, Batgirl is talking to... her friend, and her friend comes out and says, you know, because Batgirl is talking about how, you know, some problems and things like that. And then her friend comes out and says, you know, I need you to know you're my friend. I'm transgender. Right? So all on the internet, it was saying, hey, this is the first time the openly transgender character is in mainstream superhero comics. And it's in, Batgirl, which is sort of a very, very mainstream comic, right?
But also kind of a risque progressive comic. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. So this became a big internet
sensation.
I don't even want to say sensation. Wow. But a lot of people are talking buzz, exactly. So now... And I was sort of interested, so I picked up the comic and I was looking at it, and they don't really make a big deal of it though. It's not like it's like a full page spread of her saying, "Hey, by the way, I'm trans."
Wow, with like balloons,
stuff. It's just like a small little panel, and then she comes out, and then the next panel, she wants to see, says, "Oh, Barbara, I want you to know I'm transgender," and then Barbara says, "Call me Babs because I only love the people that I only let people call me Babs for the people that I love," kind of thing. So there's a big kind of love in between So anyways, now this was interesting because then you pointed out to me that there was actually an article on ICV2.
Yeah, I think so.
ICV2 comes out and says that there's an article about Batgirl number 19 in which there's a transgender character. However, there was actually a character in Legion of Superheroes number 31 that reveals that she was born a male and had been a female.
That's Siobhan Aaron.
That's Wayne's World.
That due to a biological...
You seen Siobhan Aaron?
No.
Schwing.
So anyways...
Yeah, and that was way back, 20-some-odd years ago, right?
Not quite, but then... Even further back, there was a story by Neil Gaiman in A Game of You, issues number 32 to 37 was the story arc. Way back in 1991, so we're talking like, over 20 years ago, there was a character called Alvin/Wanda who was tied to the DC Universe that said, in fact, that she was also a transgendered character.
Right. So this has been done before.
Right. However, I think because of the times, and I think because of some sensationalism now, and because it's in Batgirl, right? It's not in Legion of Superheroes, where nobody gave two craps about it.
Uh-huh.
It's not in Sandman, where people who read Sandman, and I'm one of them, a little more adult, accepting of certain
open-minded.
Things, open-minded, absolutely, right.
Progressive.
Whereas, Batgirl, very mainstream, part of the DC universe, whereas the other ones...
Bunch of horny guys reading Batgirl.
Exactly. Right. So now all of a sudden it's a big reveal. And I think it's interesting that, maybe this has happened before. Even 40 years ago, we just don't know.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit, if we can, as a group here. We are including Shecky here. We are, industry experts in a way, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about everything that's happened, let's say, over the last 5-6 years since Helen Keller. What's the guy's name?
Helen Keller.
Sorry,
what?
I got that wrong.
His name
Kevin
probably
Keller.
Isn't Helen.
Kevin Keller over in Archie.
But
we got this thing happening here. So here's my question.
Yeah.
If I can have a question here, is comic books were like somebody will say the purpose of comic books is to entertain us and to show us some fighting, to show us good versus evil.
Right.
But the problem with comic books, you know, let's say the 30-year-old comic book, was that they were inclusive to a past demographic that was white male.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
So started 50 years ago, 40 years ago,
yeah,
those boundaries started to be broken through characters like the Falcon, Black Panther,
right,
Miles Morales recently.
Yeah.
And so now that we're, and the X-Men, I think that the X-Men of the late 70s really brought female characters to
yeah,
the forefront of
yep,
you know, hey, this isn't just a girl with big boobs. You know, these are integral parts of the team,
right,
characters type of things.
Yep.
So now we're coming on, we've dealt with race, we've dealt with gender, but now we're dealing with kind of the next taboo, so to speak,
yeah,
which is like, you know, non-male-female gender.
Right,
you know, it's
right,
almost like the last
last taboo to
last
be broken.
Last taboo to
yeah,
break. And
yeah,
then we have, after this, after the dust settles here, we have comic books then that are written for just the general population.
Yeah.
Anybody in society can relate to a comic book,
yeah,
from this point on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's obviously a good thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely, it's a good thing. I think fortunately for comic books and the comic book industry and mm-hmm, for people who are reading that stuff, it seems like comic books are able to take grand steps towards acceptance, towards talking about social issues that maybe would not be acceptable in other media, right? So, you know, I have yet to see a movie where somebody comes out and says, well, okay, a movie of any importance. So
right,
somebody says where they're transgender, right?
Right.
You know, there's the what is it called? The Quiet Game or The Waiting Game or something like that came out 20 years ago and turned out to be some, you know, a guy that was dressed up as a, but it wasn't mm-hmm, even transgendered. It was something completely different.
Right.
My point is that I think that, you know, in the 70s, we had a lot of racial issues come out in comic books,
mm-hmm,
and certainly a lot of gender issues. And now, all of a sudden, comic books are able to push those boundaries even further.
Why do you guys think that's important? My question is this. Why, like, comic books are about, you know, good guys beating up bad guys.
Right.
So what we're realizing is a good white guy beating up a bad white guy isn't enough. It doesn't satisfy society anymore because – is it because,
you know what,
people want to relate to the characters? That's obviously
you know
seems
what
to be
it,
like –
it
like,
does.
Why do comics have to – I mean, I obviously know the answer, but why do comics have to – you know, comic books are comic books.
Right.
Superheroes,
no, you, know
super
what,
villains.
You know what? Great
so it's
point.
About, it's about the society's changing.
It's a great point.
And the comic
yeah,
book – playing field has to change with it, right? To be all inclusive.
It's a great point, and I completely agree with what you're saying. And you're asking, so why do we have to include that kind of stuff in comics? Why can't yeah, it just be zap, pow, bang? You know, good
sure,
guys
Superman
beating up
right, Lex Luthor.
I think because there's a point where, you know, in society, 1%. Or 10%, or whatever it happens. I don't know the percentages,
mm-hmm,
but there's going to be a certain percentage that it does care about that stuff,
right?
And that is going to be reflected in comic books,
right?
Because and this is fun. This is interesting because one of the things I talk about, even in my comic book history class,
mm-hmm,
is that comics are culturally important because they continue to reflect what's happening in society.
Mm-hmm.
In, you know, when the attacks on the trade centers, 9/11 occurred, we had comic books coming out based on that.
Right.
In the 70s, we had Superman beating up on Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Muhammad Ali was a culturally significant character,
yeah,
or person, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Not even character, sorry. You know, and so that was significant of that time, of that society. This is going to be a culturally significant moment in,
yeah,
in society in
right,
comics, right? So comics are reflective of what's happening in society,
mm-hmm,
in the modern day.
Yes, and you know what? I agree completely, Chris. I just want to give in my 2 points that I kind of see. Just like Walter said, I mean, comic books used to be, you know, just white good man fighting bad white man, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of relative, and it's escalated to the point where, you know what? these people who are, say, you know, the good transgenderals, right? They are, you know, they're the good people because, you know, they're the minority that's been picked on. So they're seen as the good person trying to, you know, they're expressing themselves, you know, through comic book. You learn what they are and maybe their dark secret that they try and hide or something. They fight through. Mm-hmm. They persevere, right?
Right.
I mean, you won't find a villain who's transgender right now in comics because then that will put a bad taste on all you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you will only find you only find the protagonist. They would not at this point before it
becomes, they wouldn't have dared
no.
like the first transgender character being a villain is what
no.
you're saying.
Do you know how much hate mail would probably yeah. come
like,
across?
Well, why could
yes.
be he or she or he she
it's great,
been
it's a great
a,
point.
A hero?
Right?
Yeah, it's a great point.
Good point there, Shaky.
And I'll also come up with the second point that I have
another
there.
Another good point?
It may actually be what sells comics. Publicity sells comics.
Yeah, yeah. You're right.
What is this right now? We have how many instances of publicity in our notes here?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
we barely did any digging because, you know, we're not that hard of working class.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. You're right.
But I'm, you know what I mean, right? So hopefully they didn't cop out and they actually are trying to be proactive in bringing this into
you know what?
The
it's
pop
a, it's a great
stream.
Great point that you're making because, you know, it'll be interesting to see when the day comes when we can have – because we don't even have – really, I have not seen that I can remember even an openly gay villain in comics.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And it'd be interesting to see when that day comes where it can be openly gay and a villain and still be acceptable mm-hmm. as a character, as a villain.
Yes. Now,
right?
Here,
not a person, but just a
I
character.
I hear you. Now, here's a question, guys. Here's a question. And I don't know if I have the answer. I may have it, but the first African-American person in comics, I think. I could be wrong. Here,
yeah.
But I think, well, you know, was
Black Panther. Right.
Hero.
Right.
First gay in the Canadian series.
Yeah. Alpha Flight. Yeah.
Hero.
Right.
Now, I'm going back to the 40s. Catwoman was introduced as a villain.
Right.
Now, I'm just trying to – I can't remember – maybe some listeners will remember. Was the first kind of prominent female comic book character a villain or a heroine?
Well, would it not be Wonder Woman?
I think Catwoman came out in Batman number 1, which was 1940, I think, Chris, and Wonder Woman didn't appear till later.
But was there not any
That's what I'm asking. I'm not sure.
But,
so it would have been, you know, and maybe it's a reflection of the times. I'm trying to get to a point here. You know, in the 40s, you know, it's like, you know, the society wasn't driven by social political correctness.
Right, right.
You know, it's like
females,
villains, right?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
that kind
well,
of
back
stuff.
Then you could go home, have a martini. If it weren't dry enough,
yeah,
you backhand them, right?
Right,
that's
hit your
happened.
Wife, right, and that kind of stuff. So that's an interesting thing, like – you know, because females were the first kind of quote unquote minority,
right? Yeah, you're right.
Come into comics after kind of the guys.
Yeah.
Other than being an olive oil to Popeye or something.
But that
like
kind
that.
Of even then, I would dare to say that may have
dare.
Even reflected the times.
Yeah.
Right, because there were like,
but they dared to introduce the female as a villain first.
Right.
Whereas today we don't dare.
Hmm.
Right.
All right. Well, you know what?
Anyway.
Great discussion. And certainly, you know, we would love to hear your thoughts and opinions on this. And I think if you want to write in, we would love to hear you on comicbookdaily.com. Please go down to the comment section and talk about it.
All right.
Listen, we're going to now go to something way lighter, and we're going to talk about collecting comics.
Yeah.
Right? So we're talking about comics that came out in the 40s, first appearance of Batman. You just mentioned Batman number 1.
Yeah.
And now, when it comes to comics and factors that, you know, you are the guru. You are the Overstreet advisor of comic books. You are the man. You own, 4 million comic book stores around
17.
The world? Yeah,
don't
17
exaggerate,
million.
Exaggerate, Chris. Come on.
So, now, you know what drives comic book values,
mm-hmm.
right? So, if I was to ask you, if you could have come up with a checklist.
Yeah.
Of how what drives the value of a comic book? Now we all know first appearance, right, of a mm-hmm. character. That's number one.
That is absolutely number one.
Number one, yeah. right? Other than that, what drives the demand and thus the values of comic books?
Well, Chris, you hit it on the head. First appearances. I know you read my post on comicbookdaily.com.
And that I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and I know you read it.
People
and,
read that stuff?
And no. Where I addressed the situation, and basically I talked about what drives values in comics, and of course, characters, number one. You know, the three comic books that have sold for over $1 million, Chris, are Batman's first appearance, Superman's first appearance, and Spider-Man's first appearance.
Right.
Those are the three greatest heroes in pop culture, probably in terms of popularity around the world.
Right.
Right. So obviously their first appearances are going to command the highest prices.
Okay.
So it's obvious. Now, you know, we all love Rocket Raccoon.
Yeah, he's a great character.
Okay, but never be worth $1 million, right? But the most expensive Rocket Raccoon comic is the first appearance comic.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is?
Hulk 271.
Oh, I'm impressed. Yeah. You know, I didn't think you'd know that off the top of your head.
I knew that. 271. Right. So, you know, obviously Wolverine's first appearance in Hulk 181 is Wolverine's most expensive comic. So,
right.
So the first appearance, because those characters, Chris, I mean, listen. I remember I came over that one night and I needed a cup of sugar.
Right. Yes.
And you had your Spider-Man pajamas on.
Yes, I did. Yes.
And so you're looking at characters that have lunch pails, pajamas, video games,
for sure.
T-shirts, toques, you name it.
All
movies,
kinds of stuff. That's
so,
right. Yeah.
You know, the first time that character that's so popular was ever introduced was in that little comic book. That's why they're worth so much money.
Right.
Next, it would be issue numbers.
Okay. Now, why issue number? Now, because I'm going to put you to task on this. I know. Mm-hmm. I know you said issue number. Okay. Hulk 181 is not a number one.
No.
Right?
But remember, that's the first appearance of a character.
Just hold on a second here.
I'm holding.
Just let me speak here for a second. Jeez, right. you never let me – you never talk about anything else. But anyways, So Hulk 181, Punisher – sorry, Amazing Spider-Man number 129, first appearance of the Punisher.
Sure.
You know, Batman it comes out in Detective Comics number 27.
Yes.
So why all of a sudden is now you're saying issue number is important? Because none of these were number ones.
Absolutely. But listen, I'm going to give you a couple other examples. Brave and Bold number 28. Smart Pants. What happened there?
It's like I'm a newbie or something. That's Justice League of America number one. First appearance.
Showcase number 22.
That would be the Atom.
Green Lantern,
sorry.
Nice try. Amazing Fantasy number 15.
Spider-Man.
Okay. Now, my point is this. Brave and the Bold number 28, 29, and 30
right.
all featured the first Silver Age appearance, well, the first appearances of the Justice League of America.
Right.
After the popularity of those in Brave and the Bold, they formed their own title.
Okay.
So Justice League of America number 1 is actually the fourth Justice League comic book.
Right.
But it is worth more than Brave and Bold 29 and 30.
That's ridiculous.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
because the collector mentality is they want the title, they want the number one.
Okay.
That's my point. My point is that's what drives value. Amazing Spider-Man number 1 is worth a crap load of money, but it's really the second appearance of Spider-Man. Green Lantern number 1. That is the fourth Green Lantern, but it's worth way more than Showcase number 23 and 24. So there's an artificially high value placed on number 1.
Right.
And that's the point of my essay.
Okay, and I hate to do it, but I'm actually going to agree with your essay
right.
in a point. Iron Man number 1.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
Is worth X amount of dollars,
sure.
Which is worth, it's probably worth way more than Tales of Suspense number 99.
Yeah, but the trick there is, after Tales of Suspense was a series, Chris, that was shared by Captain America and Iron Man.
Right.
And at issue number 99, it was still Tales of Suspense starring Captain America and Iron Man.
Right.
Issue number 100 went to Captain America.
Yes, big premiere issue.
Big premiere issue because he kept the title, but he kept the number sequence, but they changed the title.
To just Captain America.
Right. Iron Man got the new...
Got his own book.
Book.
Right.
But sort of Captain America got the new book. We just continued the number sequence.
Right, right, right.
But hold on.
Yeah.
So but if you look at price guides, the Iron Man is worth way more than the Captain America. They are both number ones.
But it should
Iron
be.
Man the Captain America isn't a number one. Well, right. It's number 100.
Yeah, let's be fair, though. Captain America was created so much further before Iron Man.
Well, but enough water had been under the bridge.
But Iron Man number one was actually closer to the initial start.
Yeah, but
of
you
Iron
know
Man.
What? It's a moot point because there were literally 100 yeah. or 200.
Arguing with Walt's a moot point.
There were literally a couple of hundred appearances of the character by the time Iron Man number one came out, through his Avengers appearances, through his Tales of Suspense appearances, through his guest appearances in other titles and stuff like that. So really, it's not – you can't say, oh, but it's, you know, Captain America, that was his 309th appearance, but Iron Man was only his 172nd.
Right, okay.
And they're both like way past
I
the
can't
point.
Go toe-to-toe with you. Yeah, I know. You're
you
right.
Know what I mean?
You're right.
So
– well, and the same thing kind of happened with Tales to Astonish, right?
Yes, yes. Hulk got 102.
Right.
Now, Tales to Astonish is a little bit different because Submariner got the number one.
Right.
And I believe, but still.
And who cares? And it's
but
funny.
Still, I believe the Submariner number one, if you look at a price guide, I don't know the numbers, it's too close to the value of Hulk 102. And the reason is it's a number one and the Hulk 102 isn't.
Right.
Even though they're both the introduction.
But nobody cares about Submariner.
But you know, what I'm saying is the gap between the price, the market price, would be three times as much if Hulk got the number one. And
oh, for sure.
Submariner
for
got the 102.
Sure.
So
sure.
There is a number one fetish out there in the market.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
And then, I have one more because we're running out of time, and then we'll cut it because we have to talk about Free Comic Day for a few seconds.
Oh, okay.
Cover appeal. Chris, you and I both know that the
classic covers.
You know, just like stupid covers.
You know what? I personally love fight covers. You know,
fight covers.
Where Iron Man and Thor are fighting.
Sure.
Iron
battle
Man,
covers.
Iron Man, covers.
How about the great Golden Age covers that like the risque headlight covers,
absolutely,
the classic covers in the price guide, the, you know, the really gory horror covers where you remember Black Cat 50 where the guy's holding the iridium
bar radium,
and his face is melting.
Weird Mystery number 15, I think it is.
Sure.
Where basically the guy's taking a brain out of a skull.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, you know, the price guide says it's worth $5, but good luck paying less than
$100 for
right?
it. Exactly.
So.
Exactly. So cover appeal is drives the value of a comic, you know, regardless of what a price guide would say.
Listen, well, we got to talk very quickly about Free Comic Book Day coming up May the 4th. You know, it's going to be a great, great introduction for some people into the world of comic books.
Yeah, you know what? Free Comic Book Day is right now, you and I, at the last couple minutes of the show, we're going to encourage all our listeners, and we're going to do it again next week and the week after, is please attend your local comic book shop's Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah, you know what?
They need you.
Yeah,
and you're going to love going there. It's going to be a great day. There's going to be lots of stuff going on, and you know we're going to pester you until you finally agree to go.
But you know what? Here's the thing. You know, Walt.
Here's the thing.
You and I have both read thousands of comic books. And,
thousands.
Well, we have, right?
Yeah, you're right.
You know, and even now, I got to admit, I'm a little jaded with the comic book industry because I often think, oh man, I can't possibly find something that's going to interest me. Last week I came into the store, spent a bundle of money, and I found all kinds of great stuff that I'm really interested in. Love the comic books. Love totally reinvigorated with the industry, and I think Free Comic Book Day will do that for a lot of people who maybe if you've read comics in the past, come back into the store, check things out for free. You know, you get pick up you know a bunch of free comic books and find out what it's all about.
You know, the great part about those guys is if they come back and they like it, they can do that line. You know, I tried to get out, Chris,
but they keep. Pulling me
back in.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, listen, Chris, we have to thank Shecky Feldstein.
Young Shecky. Yeah,
and Shecky, we wish you the best of luck in your Broadway musical.
Thank you, guys.
6 weeks, we won't see you anymore.
We won't be singing so much. This is just a stage play.
Oh, it's not on Broadway?
Not yet. This is just the first run.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Anything's possible.
On Broadway, wow.
And, so...
We ran up there with Spider-Man, Turn Out the Dirt.
NightoftheLivingDeadLive.com. Mm-hmm. Check that out for Shecky's play.
Tickets on sale for every show. Some are selling out pretty quickly.
All right. Good, good.
And we have to thank young Mr. Andrew Roebuck.
Yeah, a young buck, Andrew Roebuck, who always he's like a stalwart.
He really is. Engineer.
Yeah, he's a pillar.
Young engineer.
And,
all right, well, listen, unfortunately, that is all the time that we have for today.
Okay, so I'm going to be redundant here and say that our show is produced by Shecky Feldstein, a.k.a. Marty Berthelmer. and engineered by our young buck, Andrew Roebuck, sitting to my left here, and Chris,
to
your right.
To my right.
For comments and suggestions, visit comicbookdaily.com. Click on the podcast link. Scroll down and please add your comments in the comments field. Also, check us out on podcast at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com.
And remember, Doctor Who isn't just for nerds anymore.
Please go out and support your local comic book shop.